Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales. These are the adventures of The Rookies, a curated actual play of the tabletop role-playing game Masks, a New Generation from Magpie Publishing. Previously on Tavern Tales, mechanical spiders are defeated, but the group is exhausted, so they go their separate ways. This episode is a call between Salarian and Beau. Let's listen in.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
And we're back with another exciting recap of the adventures of the superhero team known then as the Rookies. I'm Vern Tales, and when we last left our adventurers, they just finished fighting toddler-controlled electric spiders the size of medium dogs. That evening, as George and X-Pay lounged in their base beneath Sam Smith High School's gymnasium, both look to be worse for the wear as a phone call comes in. They pick up.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, there's only one guy here that I'm aware of, so I don't know why you pluralized your word.
It's me. Who are you talking to? Put it on speaker.
How's it going?
It's been one of those days. I don't have much context for one of those days, but I hear people say that, and I think that this is what they mean.
You're right, X-Pay. It's definitely been one of those days.
Yeah, I will agree with that. So what's going on with you?
I mean, that's a loaded question. Like, I came from the past, and now I'm here, and I'm trying to be a superhero.
Okay, George, I know that stuff.
You asked, so I'm telling you that I'm trying to be a superhero, but I'm just turning into a villain. That's all I see. Every time I try to do something good, you guys get mad at me, or I hurt people immensely. So, kind of feeling pretty crappy right now. How are you doing?
Yeah, things I guess aren't going too hot for me either.
I'm not feeling super great. I ran to the general again. Just sick of him being in my life.
Oh man, what happened?
Well, am I good? Sorry, you were pointing and stuff.
She was pointing at me.
Oh, sorry. I just pointed me out.
All you said was well.
I thought there was some technical issue. Okay. Well, I don't know. I was walking to the school and I think I took a wrong turn. And he was there and waved at me, and I don't know why, I waved back. And he just, yeah, he always wants to be a part of my life, and I don't want any of that. He waved at me, and I don't even know why, but I waved back and went up to him, and he said,
George, it's a very sad day. Would you be willing to walk with me for a bit?
You're sad?
His shoulders are a bit slumped, and he looks grumpy as always, but sad.
Why are you sad?
Oh, today's the day.
What day?
Well, today's the day, it's the anniversary of Mom and Dad's passing.
What? When did they go?
Oh,
Wait, maybe don't tell me. I don't know. Should I know? You know if I should know. Should I know?
It's gonna happen either way. Nothing we can really do to stop it. I've tried. Anyway, through the park here, there's the cemetery, and I was going to go pay my respects. Would you want to?
I guess so. There are parents.
Yep, there they are. So the two of you walk through a very quiet, secluded cemetery. It's just through a little park, a little footpath, and you can walk into the backside of a cemetery. It's not the front entrance area or anything like that. And there's a funeral that's happening way down the way, down another hill. And over on the top of a hill, there's a nice little mason work tombstone. It's really just a piece of marble that's been set nicely and well into the ground that has the both of the Grady's names on it. And your parents' names are?
On the left, George Sr. And on the right is Rose Grady.
Date of their death is 1997.
They said both of them. Are they both the same day?
It doesn't say the dates. It just says 1997.
Oh, okay. Wait, General, did they die on the same day? Or just the same year? Know.
Let's just pay our respects, shall we?
Okay. He kind of oddly, like, folds his hands and, like, puts his head down, like, confused and sad.
And a minute or two passes.
You know, George, I've never really experienced someone that close to me passing, but that sounds like it was a very difficult conversation and moment for you to have.
It was, because I was sad, but to me, they're still alive, but I know they're not alive. It's just, it was weird.
That's very confusing.
Yeah.
In these kind of situations on TV, I see that people give people hugs. May I approach you and wrap my arms around you?
And George doesn't say anything. He just opens his arms.
X-Pay will go in for a hug.
Hey, X-Pay, can you give him another hug from me? Because I want to be a good friend too, and I'm out there.
When a person gives two hugs, does it become a super hug?
Yes. Put that in your lessons.
Or do you have to discontinue the first hug and engage in a second hug? And how far back and how much time do you have to have in between first and second hugs?
It starts going through this mathematical calculation.
This seems very complicated to direct someone to give a second hug when they're in the current moment of a first hug.
X-Pay just grows two more arms.
Oh,
if only. The second hug happens.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty rough day. Wow. Okay. So, X-Pay, what's going on with you? You also don't sound 100%.
Well, as you can imagine, I lost my job, which was really hard because I was really excited to have my first job. And so I went home to go tell Jeb this, and I walked into our home and I grabbed a snack from the vending machine because when I get sad, I found out I get hungry. And so I opened a bag of chips and I went and walked over to Jeb and I said, "Hi, Jeb, I'm sad."
Howdy!
What are you sad about?
Well, I thought I got my first job and I was really excited about it, and it was with little children and they were a little odd.
Daddy?
You were sent to a warehouse at that location. What do you mean, small children?
At the warehouse. There were little toddlers.
Why
and they
there
were
toddlers at a warehouse? Howdy!
I think, from what I calculated, they were controlling these spiders. I think they were playing a inhuman game. It was kind of cool, but they tried to hurt us, so then we had to put the babies to sleep. I did that, and I kind of feel bad about that.
Oh, no. Oh no. So small children were controlling robotics. What sort of controls did they have?
They looked like mini computers that fit in their hands.
It's worse than I thought.
Why do you say that? What's worse than you thought? They're just children's.
Did you bring any of the devices back or any samples? Have you taken any readings? Could you tell me what electronics were there? Howdy!
Jeb, relax. That's a lot of questions. Well, I didn't take anything with me because I was too distracted by some other things that were going on, but there was one room with the kids that were sitting in a circle with the little mini computers, and then there was the other room with the giant spiders and a bunch of monitors. Oh, and someone's parents were on the screen, which was kind of weird. So there was a lot of screens with cameras in that room, and then there were these pods in the shape of flowers.
Pods? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, pods. Like hold something in them.
Were there many of these pods? And
there was a handful. I think I could count them on one hand.
Oh, so they were not very large?
No, they were quite normal size.
What does that mean? You're not being specific, X-Pay. What were these pods made of?
Silver. There is five of them. See, I can count them on one hand.
Okay.
Oh, and there is this manager, Heather. She's the one that...
I don't care about her.
Her name's Heather. Her name is really nice. I remember there, some of the computers had this logo on them of the perfect child. And I've seen that before.
Yes, you are from the perfect child. This is not good, X-Pay.
Howdy.
I had thought that the destruction of the facility would be enough for them to halt their production line, but it seems they've just turned to Sorry, there were children there. Were they manufactured children, or how did these children come to be?
The parents would drop them off, and it was like a daycare.
So they've just simply turned to the populace.
And then that's what my job was. I was taking care of the children that were dropped off by their parents that didn't want them. Sorry.
You went there to get information for the group.
Right.
And all you seem to have talked about is the depression and sorrow and sadness that comes from you losing a job? You seem to have been distracted in the moment, don't you?
You could say that, yes.
I'm very disappointed in you. Howdy!
And that's basically what happened.
Wow.
So, like, yeah, apparently there's some stuff going on there that we needed more information about.
Yeah, did he tell you more?
No, he just got really upset.
Jeb ever gotten angry like that?
Not that I ever recalled. That was the first time. I am a perfect child. He's never yelled at me.
It sounds like he wasn't mad. He was disappointed, which if I know you're new to like being a person and stuff. But
that's totally worse.
So much worse.
Well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
I'm sorry.
So it's worse to be disappointed in someone than angry at someone?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I remember when my dad got disappointed in me, that look. It just hurts, man. But we're not disappointed in you. We think you're an awesome teammate.
Yeah, I think Jeb's too hard on you, man. Like, that's not...
Yes, I don't like seeing that side of him, and I don't want to disappoint him further, so I must focus on what we need to do and try and make him not disappointed in me, because I've taken away that I am a disappointment.
That is not a lesson.
That'd be such a terrible lesson.
I mean, it could be.
Also, X-Pay, did you mention, like, the spider things? Like, that you were in danger? Like, that's why we were preoccupied, obviously.
Yes, I did mention the children controlling the spiders and the pods and the cameras, and that there was parents on the cameras. I don't think I left anything out. Oh, and I mentioned the perfect child. I told him everything that I saw. But he said that I got distracted, which, I mean, there was a new job and opportunity that I've not had before.
No one's perfect, X-Bay. Even you.
But I am the perfect child.
I think that's just a brand name.
Yeah. I can tell you one thing that you're perfect at, though. Being a friend.
Oh, shucks. Should we have another super hug?
The super hug was a very difficult task and I didn't quite understand it, but we can try. But I'm going to need further understanding of how the duo hug works.
And again, George just opens his arms up and we're just gonna squeeze X-Bay really hard.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that was very nice. Thank you. Now, Terry, you sound about the same as us. What's going on with you?
Yeah, it's not been great. So after, you know, got home from whatever that was.
Slam! Don't slam the door, Terry!
You know, Dad, sometimes things are rough. Just deal with it.
I had a busy day at work, and you are not helping.
Yeah,
yeah. Treat the things around you with respect and value.
Whatever.
Terry starts to stomp off to his garage loft.
Okay.
And as he was walking to his loft...
And sitting in your room on your bed is your cousin, Alejandra.
Oh, well, that's rude. Okay. That's not what I was expecting. Okay.
Wait, what are you doing here?
Tabernak, you are so dirty. No, like, really, you are filthy.
Well, you would be too if you were fighting big mechanical, evil, electrical spiders and evil children. Okay? Leave me alone. Why are you here?
First, I do not fight children. That is, beneath me. You're fighting little kids.
Do you know what else is going to be beneath something now? Your face under my foot.
Were they like, littler than you? Or they about the same size as you?
There are kids with tablets controlling evil spiders, okay? I don't want to talk about it. It was rough. It was annoying. There is a lot of spiders. I hate spiders. And I don't like you either. And now I have to deal with you too. So what do you want?
I am over for dinner with Great Aunt Cassie.
Oh, yay.
And yes, you can see down in the driveway that you've overlooked on your walk up the fancy Rolls Royce of your Aunt Cassie.
Great. First you, now Aunt Cassie.
Do you have any other comic books? I've mostly read most of these, and you have nothing in Francais.
Yeah, one second.
He walks over to his wall, and the wall that's like all maps and fancy looking, he hits a button and it flips over and it reveals the rest of his comic book collection. He's like, read whatever you want, just put it back.
And you all take a shower, yes? No?
Yeah,
you
yes, are. I'll take a shower.
She like dramatically waves her hand under her nose. She picks a couple of trade paperbacks off the thing and closes the door gently behind her.
I hate her.
He raises up his arm to smell his armpit.
Oh, okay.
I don't like that cousin of yours, and I'm really sorry you had to go through that traumatic experience again.
She's like a real pain. And since last time, you know, I just don't want to see her again. At least I got the sword back.
I thought she lived in Quebec. Like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I did too. I don't know. But freaking Aunt Cassie's here too, so that means it's just going to be an ordeal.
I wish you were here so we could give you a super duo hug.
Yeah, that would be kind of nice. So, George.
Yeah?
What happened while you were, like, did anything else happen with you and the general standing on the hill looking at your dead parents, I guess? I could have probably said that better.
Yeah, a sparrow flies across the screen, as it were, and then lands on the little tombstone of your parents and looks at you, pecks a seed. An invisible seed that you definitely did not see. There was a seed there at all. And then stands for a moment with its head cocked and then turns and flies away.
So you're not gonna tell me about what happened to them?
Yeah, I mean, nothing that could be prevented.
I mean, I might go back in time. You don't know. 97's far off in the future for me.
It very much is, George. It very, very much is. So you fought some spiders today, did you?
Yeah. It's controlled by kids. Like, I don't even know how you would do that. I'm having enough trouble Googling things. Yeah, Googlings.
That's the word.
Yeah, they have spiders and they're, like, trying to kill us. It was crazy.
Yeah, but you stopped them.
I mean, kind of.
What'd you think of that blue lightning, hey?
She was kind of a lot. Like, she was cool for sure, but she was, like, kind of mean.
He has this, like, his mouth opens and turns down at the sides and his gets all tight in the neck.
You could say that.
I don't know. She wasn't nice to us.
Yeah, I can see why that would happen. So,
yep.
You're going to understand all too soon what's going on, George. We're not the bad guy here.
I know I'm not the bad guy, but I mean, you've done some not great stuff.
Yeah, like, much as the sparrow pecked at a seed that was not there before turning to fly away, adult the general George Grady kicks a stone in the grass that is not there. And I can see from your perspective that that's the case, but it's not. And you may think that this is some dark future that you can't or will be able to prevent because you're not the George Grady that I am. And then he looks you dead in the eye, turns and says, but you will be.
Well, I think you're wrong, and I'm gonna prove you wrong.
I know. And honestly, I'd try otherwise if I knew that there would be any success in swaying you. You're just gonna have to find it all out on your own. And that final resolution will probably come when you betray your closest ally.
And I pick up the pencil.
Write that down for me.
And I circle the fourth evil thing you are going to end up doing, which is betray a close friend or ally.
Dun, dun, dun. Wait a second. What do you mean you're going to be? Who's your closest ally?
I'm not going to do it. He's just saying that to get in my head because he's a dick. This is what I've been trying to say this whole time. He's bad. I'm good.
But what do you think he meant by he's not the bad guy? Is that just something bad guys say?
I think so. Everyone thinks you're just misunderstood.
On the other side of this, you are from the past and he is current, so perhaps there is something that he knows that you don't.
Yeah, but, like, time's not fixed. I can make my own choices. He doesn't know me.
But he knows the choices you make.
No, because I haven't made them. I'm not the smartest. I know how time works, I think.
This is confusing my brain.
All I know is I would never betray someone, and I'm not going to be him. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, no. I can't picture you betraying anybody.
See?
First of all, you're not smart enough.
Whoa. But true.
I'm kidding.
Touche. XP, did you talk to Jeb anymore? Or what happened with that?
Well, yeah, because I wanted to try and explain myself and make it so that I wasn't such a disappointment in Jeb's eyes. But it was really hard.
Howdy.
Listen, Expe, you are smart, capable, and perceptive. I will repeat again. You are smart, capable, and perceptive.
As Kyle points at Paige's booklet and gestures for what she should look at.
I get what you're doing. But you just said I'm a disappointment.
Yes, and you can raise above yourself by being smart, capable, and perceptive. I had hoped for more knowledge and more information that you would have been able to get from the Tot Stop, which I still don't believe even existed.
It really did. It was really strange because Adora's parents, or her mom, was in one of the cameras looking right at us, and she had the flowers that were the silver ones that were in the place, and she had one of those as well, and was talking into it, and it was really creepy because it felt like she was staring directly into our souls.
Oh my.
Howdy!
I only have one other bit of information that I think might be possible. About 3 hours outside of the city, there is a facility. It was an adjunct to the Perfect Child. A precursor to the facility in town at the harbor. Perhaps some information can be gleaned there. Here are the coordinates. There is a long weekend coming up here. Perhaps you and your friends can make your way out of the city to confirm whether or not any of the information that is necessary is there.
I really want to make up the disappointment that I caused you, and I would be more than happy to take on this task with my friends. It sounds like there is a very specific information you're looking for.
Bring back some form of hard drive or technology that they may, that you may still be able to find there, that we might be able to break it to know more. Perhaps my access codes and logs will still be there that will allow us to get in.
What is your access code?
Howdy!
That makes sense.
And he gave you the access code?
Yes, of course.
I guess we got something to do then.
Maybe this next thing will help out all of our predicaments. That's how you say that, right?
No.
It's close enough.
What?
I mean, it's not far off.
Predicaments.
There you go. That's pretty good.
Wonderful. I'll add it to my list of vocabularies.
Yeah, right.
So we're thinking we're going back to the Tot Stop?
No, it's a different place.
Oh, good, because I don't want to go back there.
You said it was outside of the city, right?
Yeah, Jeb said to go on a long weekend and then we can all get away from our families, especially you, Terry, because it sounds like you have a lot going on between your cousin and your aunt.
Yeah, tell me about it. My cousin, do you know what she did?
I'm all ears. Well, not all ears. I do have some other bodily functions, but you know the same.
You're in the shower. And you don't hear the door open. Maybe you feel that slight change in temperature, though, and the humidity, as the humidity is let out and the temperature is let out of your really nice, hot, steamy shower with your super manly man soap that you use on your little floof. What's the smell of that?
Citrus.
Yeah, it's definitely like bright and sharp, and you're like, that's me! I'm bright and sharp, right? And you are scrubbing your chest and nether regions or whatever it is that you're scrubbing currently, because it's a comic book at the end of the day, right? So we've got these visual of Terry in the shower, arm up scrubbing, sort of as you do in the commercials, and suddenly the thing just rips right open and your cousin is staring you right in the eyes. She opens it and she is now covering your body in the comic book. So we've got you standing here. Her back is to the panel and she's pulled open the whole shower curtain. And she says to you,
hurry up. Great Aunt Cassie wishes to speak with you.
Well, this feels invasive. Can't a guy shower in peace? Also, I don't want to see you while I'm showering. I'm naked. What the heck?
Also, you need to like condition and moisturize because up top is just a... terrible. And she...
I was getting to that!
And closes the screen.
So, you know, like, you have those, like, little mirrors that are in the shower for, like, shaving and stuff? Even though Terry doesn't really have anything to shave, he's like, he puts it there in hope.
Yeah, but and he, like, is him looking at himself in the...
Yeah, and he's, like, pulling up at his hair, and he's like, do I need to condition it? I've heard that that's something you're supposed to use on your head.
So that's the last panel of that as we go back to the scene of the three of you. Like, it's, again, it's a comic book, right? So, mm-hmm. And I didn't describe that this is yet not a normal issue of the comic book. This is a special issue of the comic book. This is the annual issue of the comic book. And on the cover, it's just the three of them sitting around on the, like, on a phone in a triangle form. X-Pay is the phone. And George is talking on like a really old rotary phone. In fact, the background of George's picture is all like really old 1960s, 1970s wood panel decor and sort of thing. And then you're laying on your bed talking on a video chat phone sort of thing on the front cover. And it's the special, the Rookies Annual.
Cool.
Is that appropriate for your cousin to see you showering?
No, it's not appropriate for anybody to see you showering. That's just weird.
Nobody ever whatsoever? Interesting. I will make a mental note. Nobody can ever see me shower.
Wait, you shower? Aren't you like electronic or something? Wouldn't that wreck your circuitry?
They're not a robot. They're X-Pay.
Yeah, I get dirty too. I don't like to have dirt in my crevices.
Yeah, this is becoming a weird conversation.
Yeah, so like, what happened next?
So, after that whole alarming intrusion on my shower, I got dressed, conditioned my hair, got dressed, and I went down to talk to my Aunt Cassie, and oh boy, Aunt Cassie is a character, just to tell
you. So you haven't really ever met Great Aunt Cassie.
Oh no.
But she's a character at this point because you have already had that conversation with her. So we see Terry go down the stairs. What is Terry wearing?
Terry is figuring because Great Aunt Cassie is here, he should look better than normal. So he's wearing a black button-up shirt. The top two buttons are undone. And he's wearing his nice black skinnies and a gray vest that's like done up. And he's rolled his cuffs.
Great. And you're walked down the stairs and your abuela is standing there with no cane.
Hi, abuela. Do you need any help?
I'm not your abuela. I'm your Great Aunt Cassie.
Wait, why do you look like, you're a twin, right?
She just rolls her eyes. And what's your abuela's name?
Maria.
Yeah, Maria never said you were swift of thought and intelligence, so that makes sense. So, inheritor of the family virtue, huh? Could have fooled me.
Oh, I can see that you got none of the charm that abuela got. I'm gonna be posing later to become a gargoyle on top of the house.
So this is how you talk to your elders, is it?
Yeah, if they don't respect me first, why would I respect you? Anyways, I'm gonna go find abuela.
Just a second, shithead.
I conditioned.
That was good. That took me a second.
You came down here and confuse me as your grandmother.
You look the same.
I correct you of your ignorance.
Rudely.
Oh, I see. So I'm the rude one.
There's a standoff happening apparently downstairs. Terry is standing there with his arms crossed.
Sure would like a do-over, wouldn't you?
And get insulted by you twice? That sounds like a great time. If it's not Dad, it's you. Anyways, I'm gonna go find abuela. The only nice person, it seems, in this house.
Maria, the nice one. Okay. So no need of a do-over?
Terry sighs.
Would you like to start again?
So Terry sighs. You see him comb his hand through his hair, a little bit frustrated.
Uh-huh.
And then he stops, puts his feet together, and very formally bends at the waist, bowing towards his great aunt.
And he's like, good afternoon, great aunt. What's her name? Good afternoon, great aunt Cassie.
Let's try that again, shall we?
Do you agree to trying again?
That's what I was doing in action.
I know, and you did a very great thing. And then it was so funny that you're like, great aunt, what's your name? Was really funny too, right? Like,
so, oh, okay.
There's a flash on the comic panel, big flash.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Terry Chase walking down the stairs wearing his black
so it just rewinds in the
his black shirt with the two buttons undone, running the hand through his hair, and he espies his great aunt, but you've moved backwards knowingly.
So it's a cognizant rewind, so I know the events that just occurred.
Exactly.
Okay. But we're just starting back with me coming down.
You're going, like, the last moment you were standing right there, and now you're back up the stairs.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so Terry's walking down the stairs, decked out as he is.
Mm-hmm.
He reaches the bottom of the stairs and see his great aunt Cassie.
Yep.
And he formally puts his feet together, bends at the waist, and he's like, "Great Aunt Cassie, it's a pleasure to see you."
"Oh, so nice to meet you. Little, Terry."
"Yes, it is me. When did you get in?"
"Oh, Alejandra and I have been here for a couple weeks now, but we're here for the big get-together hullabaloo."
"Ah, yes. Quite a lovely time of year. The great hullabaloo. This is my first hullabaloo. Not sure what to..."
"You keep saying it like it's a title, and I was just talking about it being a big mess of people."
"Oh, my mistake. Did you need me for something, or..."
"Just wanted to get a look at you. Carrier of the family virtue and all that."
"So I've been told."
"All the fancy accoutrements that come with the Della Vega name."
"Mm-hmm." "Did you want to walk with me to the sitting room?"
"I guess..."
She kind of rolls her eyes and shrugs, like,
"Not doing much sitting while I'm here, but if that's what you're up to..."
Under his breath, Terry whispers over to Great Auntie Cassie. He's like,
"I know where Dad keeps the good liquor."
"That doesn't seem very responsible."
"Responsible, but fun."
"I see."
Cassie's smirking. He's like,
"Of course, none for me. I'm underage."
So this is Great Aunt Cassie, who is Alejandra's grandma.
I'm trying to warm up to her.
I know, you're trying.
I'm trying really hard.
She's not making it easy.
No.
Alejandra, your greatest nemesis.
Yeah, I know. She's great.
Your cousin that the whole entire family seems to love more than you. Both of you are the same age or thereabout. Both of you were figure skaters. I don't know if Alejandra was necessarily a parkour person, but that's nonetheless.
"So, got yourself a little group of heroes around you now?"
Yes, some friends from school."
"You should bring them by for the dinner."
"I guess I can ask and see if they're free. Do you just want them?"
"It's nice to have friends around when there's a big hullabaloo happening and family everywhere. Nice buffer of proper civility, don't you think?"
"I quite agree."
"You should make sure they come."
"I will make sure to ask them."
"Okay, I've decided I'm going to sit. So run along."
"All right."
Terry gives a short little bow as he leaves and then turns and he walks right out of the house to the back training area.
As he leaves the room, though,
yeah,
he gets like a parting shot from Great Aunt Cassie.
"You know, you're a lot more normal than I expected you to be. Not nearly as superior as everybody seems to want to think you could be."
And she's trying to change your labels. She's saying you're mundane and not superior.
How good am I with a deck of cards or a throwing knife? Can I throw one in a general direction?
Because there's the mechanic involved.
Yeah.
Do you accept this change of your labels? Then you're gonna need to roll.
Okay. I'm going to roll for that nonsense. This is going to suck, isn't it? Yep, I got 6.
That's all you get to it. So she's trying to change your labels. So you're going to mark a condition and I adjust your labels accordingly. What condition did you remove at the top of the game?
Afraid.
Yeah, that's when I was thinking, because you didn't come across as afraid. Hopeless and insecure? Absolutely. Still feeling that. And now you're angry too. So this is a good thing to note that... when you're coming through on the phone call, you're coming through now angry, hopeless, and insecure. And your labels have been shifted, so I want you to move your superior down and your mundane up.
What the heck?
What's your superior at now?
-1.
Ooh, and what's your mundane at now?
+1.
Okay, well, you know mundane is really good for you, right?
Don't like it.
You think that it's a negative thing, don't you?
Yeah.
It's not. Not for your character.
Well...
You have moves that allow you to do stuff with mundane.
Huh. I do.
Yeah, you do.
Whoops.
Yes, you're just a regular guy.
And so you're going to angrily accept this and leave the room.
So that's why you invited us for dinner.
Yeah, need a, guess, a buffer, as Auntie Cassie put it. Great Aunt Cassie. Not great enough to be dead yet. Yeah, so if you guys would come to dinner, I would greatly appreciate it.
Well, we've met everyone else in your family. I think it's only right that we meet the additional people in your family.
Yeah, and all you need to say is, you know, free food and I'm there. But as long as you're sure your cousin's not going to break ninjas?
I don't believe so, but hey, we've beat her once. We could beat her again. The ninjas weren't that hard.
I mean, that's true. She's kind of much, though. Your aunt sounds, you know.
Yeah, but let's not forget. I have the sword back, okay?
Your great aunt does not sound very delightful.
As about as delightful as prune juice mixed with sardines.
I've never tried that combination. I'll have to do it.
I wouldn't advise it.
Expert, let me know how that is. I'm curious.
Maybe they'll serve it at dinner.
What is for dinner?
It'll be a traditional feast.
Like paella? And his eyes get really wide.
Yeah, considering that's one of my dad's favorite things. Hey, paella.
Yeah, I don't even care if there's ninjas now.
So, George.
Yeah?
What did he say after the whole, like,
you will be me
thing? That was me trying to be the general, but I failed.
Just more nonsense, he said.
I debated even having this moment with you, George. Never felt that it was important. Leaves you just wondering and dreading 1997 as a year. But I remember it too firmly. So that's what it is.
That's what is?
Yep.
You always talking to riddles. It's so frustrating. It's hard enough being out of time. You just speak.
I agree.
You just speak English. What happens in 97?
It's just the year mom and dad are gone.
Like, just naturally? Like, what happens?
He gets choked up and he takes a step or two back. He says, it's
natural. It's not something you or I did. And
thank God.
It's not like supervillain out there knocked a building on them or anything horrendous like that. It's just one of those things you can't stop. Anyway, good luck in the next little bit here, George. You're going to need it. Things are going to get really rough for you and your friends.
He is like leans towards him like he's going to give him a side hug, but then changes his mind. He seems to go back to like a firmer stature.
Yeah, as you do that, he kind of leans away too. Like he's not even looking at you, but it's like a synchronized lean.
Is this all you wanted to tell me? A whole bunch of nothing?
What do you mean? I mean, this is a hard day, George. It's just nice to have somebody to share it with.
I don't know. I just leave you more confused than I ever was. It's so frustrating being around you.
Yep. Nice to hear it. So, don't let Xpay forget you on their next reset. And he turns to walk away.
Wait, what? Can I chase after him?
You chase after him? Okay, sure. Yeah, I know. I'm
not fine like super that. Speed, normal speed.
I know. Okay, just checking. Okay. You chase after him. You grab his shirt sleeve and turn him around. He looks at you. What?
You can't just drop bombs like that. You'd like, don't talk to me this whole time. You say nonsense about 97 and then you're like, blah, 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 X-Pay. Like, again, what's up with the riddles?
It's the only way we get through this.
Whatever, man. It's just so frustrating talking.
Look, he gets angry.
Yeah.
Like, tugs his arm away from your gripped hand on his sleeve, and he pokes a finger into your chest, and he says, you haven't seemed to get it yet, that your future is my past, is my future. He pokes you even harder on the second poke.
Do you understand how stupid that sounds? That makes no sense.
He just stands there looking at you, and he's like, does this make any sense?
No, you're supposed to help me, and you're not helping. You're making
it worse. I tried to help you.
How?
I tried to help you, you sniveling little snot. I gave you a wallet full of cash. I gave you an apartment of your own. I gave you everything, and you said no, and you continued to say no. And now you're coming to me for help?
I didn't come to you. You came to me, and you're messing my life up.
You're the one who just chased after me and asked for more.
Because you threatened my friend. Say things like X-Pay's gonna reset. Are you gonna reset her? Reset them?
He just like shrugs his shoulders and turns to leave again. Like,
whatever, I'm done with you too. He turns the other way, huffs off.
And the last thing you hear is, so hard to be done with oneself.
Dun dun dun! I have so many questions. Why am I not supposed to forget you on my next reset? And how would that happen?
I have the same questions, but he won't answer. He acts like he wants to help me, but he doesn't. He's not a good person.
How about we just make sure you don't get reset? Then we don't have to worry about this.
That could potentially be a very difficult task, but I'm up to it. He sounds so angry. He might just need a hug. You, George Grady, have had multiple hugs. Other George Grady probably hasn't had any.
Doesn't deserve.
He's probably been hugged by Blue Lightning.
What?
Like the spicy kind of hug?
What's a spicy hug?
No. No way.
That's the lesson you do not need to learn.
Aren't I supposed to learn every lesson?
Just why don't you go ask Solarian what a spicy hug is?
That sounds like a fantastic idea. I'll make sure to do that the next time I see Solarian.
Okay, well, sounds like the general... Oh, man, that whole thing was very confusing and very meta.
Right? Like, what does he mean? That I'm his past and his future and his past? Like, that doesn't...
Bro, you're younger him, so therefore you're his past. But now you're in the future, so therefore you're also his future. And then their future is tied up in him. So then he's your past and you're his past. How is that so complicated?
I get it. I completely understood that.
And George just... All right,
roll to lie.
So, time is not linear.
No, it's round like a clock. Yep, right? Is that right?
What I do want to point out is it's becoming abundantly clear to George that obviously this is not a branched timeline, that this is the same timeline. Like, I think in many ways you wanted to play it out like it was a branched timeline. Like, this isn't that future because I made different choices, right?
Yeah.
But it's becoming abundantly clear as you've now heard four different things that you have done that you haven't done yet because you haven't done any of them, but they will probably happen like bang, 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 is that those four things predicate that you are on the exact same timeline as before.
Whoa, just one second. So if the general was you when he was younger, that means he already had the conversation with the general who is you in the future, which means he had the conversation with the general who is you in the future and in the past. Holy crap.
Or he's lying? What sounds more realistic?
I would have to say the first one that Terry just explained.
How is that? No, I can't accept that. Because then it means I don't get to make any of my own choices. And I'm just, what, doomed to be a bad guy? I can't accept that. I can't become him.
Hey, if anybody can figure out how to stop it, it's us.
Yeah, and everything that we've learned tonight, we have a couple paths to move forward.
I mean, if all else fails, we can just ask Solarian to blast you. I should take care of something. Or the general.
That's definitely...
Not you, but...
I don't know about that. Let's keep that as like plan B or C. Put them back.
You've all been very kind to each other. There have been hugs and nice things said. Terry, who do you feel you've been trying to comfort during this session? George has definitely come across as angry, maybe could have been more angry, but Allison is distant and does not have Allison's character sheet at this time. But it can be comforted out of you at this point. What conditions does Expay currently have?
Angry and guilty.
So Expay could have been angrier and guiltier too. Did you wipe out any conditions at the start?
I did not.
Oh, okay. All right. So you can wipe out angry or guilty if you'd like to. I don't think you came across as very angry, probably quite guilty. You could comfort George in his anger, or you could comfort Expay in their guiltiness.
I think in this scenario, I did more to comfort Expay in the guiltiness.
All right, well, roll to comfort your friend. I'll note I've added a team to the pool at the start of the session, so there is one team in the pool.
Nah.
All right, so, but on comfort...
Plus Monday, 10.
Look, it's like your mundane went up and it helped you.
When I help a teammate, it can spend two team out of the pool and add +2 to their roll.
I know, right? So there you go. That's going to be helpful for you down the road. So you have successfully comforted your friend. What happens on a hit for comfort?
They hear you. Mark potential, clear condition, or shift labels to open up to you. On a 10+, I can also add a team to the pool or clear condition myself. I feel like I should clear my condition.
If they open up to you. So do you choose to open up to Terry?
Yes.
Of course. That sounded like what happened throughout this. Yeah. Why the whole phone call happened in the first place and all of this flashbacks. So what are you choosing to do of those three things?
I'm going to clear a condition.
Nice. And what are you going to clear your condition as well?
Yes.
Sounds great. Expay, you've hugged George twice and been very kind to George the entire time. Are you going to comfort George?
I am.
Sounds great.
Now, I do have a question about that.
Okay.
Comforting George, would I have used my thermodynamic miracle?
Is that a really warm hug?
No. It just means you get to roll plus freak instead of roll plus mundane. So anytime you want to do that, you can just choose to do that instead.
Okay.
Because George, you're unique and special.
And then because if they open up to you, shift freak up and mundane down if they don't mark a condition.
Oh.
Is the second part of it.
I'll accept your warm super hug.
Oh, so you don't have to do this one if you don't want to. You can look back here at your labels.
Yeah.
And see your mundane is minus one and your freak is plus one. So that's pretty advantageous. But it means you're going to be moving your freaking mundane around as well.
Yeah. So
what do you want to do?
I'm going to go super comfort because it gave a super hug.
So X-Pay is telling you, George, that you are unique and special and flower of silvery portents, much like it had five petals. There is only one of you.
Even though there's two of you.
You're a hero to X-Pay's Leander. Did you get that?
Yes. It's from a play, Leander and Hero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the flower that has anything to do with Leander? Is there an oleander flower?
Yes, there is.
Oh, what? Leander. Huh.
Aw, you. Okay, sorry. I'm
not too sure if Allison is just sitting there like that or if Allison
it's gone
frozen.
Over her head.
Yeah, she's no, frozen. It's just a zoom. Total zoom.
Oh, zoom.
Not
zoom
just fall. The platform that we're on, but just over my head completely.
Okay, so I'm referencing the oleander flower to remind you all that it was an oleander.
Yeah, because I totally know what that flower looks like 100%, right?
Why would you?
Why right? wouldn't I?
But you know that an oleander is a flower. You know that. That's something you already knew in your head.
Sure.
But you have no idea what it looks like, right?
But I know it's white and has five petals, I'm guessing.
Yes, it does.
Wow.
And the other part of it is that there's a Greek story about Leander and Hero. So you are a hero to X-Pay's Leander. And you are unique, George. Do you accept this, you know, commentary on your uniqueness?
Yes, because that's important in his identity.
Cool. Roll the dice.
Uh-oh.
That's a 7 plus 1.
8.
Yes. And so on a hit.
Mark potential, clear a condition, or shift their labels.
What do you choose to do, George?
I think it should get rid of my angry condition. That would make sense.
Done. So you are now free of conditions, George. George has accepted this and has opened up to you. So that means your labels are going to shift.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. This is not a normal session because we only have our three players here and it's an annual book. So there is nothing at the very end of the phone call, i.e. we're not going to go through the what did you learn this session piece. That will be done when you're back together as a group when we go to family dinner.
So fun.
So wait. How does this phone call end?
Oh, and when you come over for dinner, make sure you wear some nice clothes.
I'll see what I can find.
Okay. Are you guys busy right now?
Not particularly, but it sounds like I may have to go shopping for clothes because I only have one type of clothes.
Yeah, I'll pick you guys up. We'll hit the mall.
This sounds fun.
And sing with the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. And raise a glass and toast to the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales,
a curated Masks, a new generation game set in the superhero teenage world of Halcyon City.
Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at @badbillyband. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at @tavern_tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.
Guess I could go find my grandma and give her a hug. She's
that old. May have already happened. There's more to go.
Oh.
So you could, which one do you wish to hear more from? At this point, because there's more each story? Of these stories.
Whoa! This is just like a Kinder surprise.
Yes, that's what this is supposed to be.
For everyone involved.
Yes. None of you
I
know.
Hope the listeners are not as confused as I am.
Well, now you kind of get the cadence of it.
I get the cadence.
So who do you want to know more from?
Oh, I want to know more from George.